Hello and welcome back to Searching Inward, a podcast brought to you by Restore Small Groups here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm George, joined with Anna, Scott, and Seth, and all of you. Many of you have been on this journey of transformation. We have finally come to the end of it. This is day 36 of 36 episodes, and what a journey it has been. So if you're joining us for the first time today, you can go back and get the other 35, but we're glad you're here. And this day, Scott, honestly, I was surprised to hear the title of this. Today's episode is entitled Whoop It. What I did expect, Hoop It, because we are in March Madness and you're a basketball fan and Journey to Freedom starts with that. So Hoop It, I would have got, but Whoop It was a bit of a surprise, right? But this episode is really about what keeps us motivated, where motivation comes from, and what are some of the factors that shape intrinsic motivation in our lives. But Scott, I don't know how you came up with this title for this day. You borrowed it from someone. We'll get to that in just a moment. But one of the central, well, first of all, let's say this. This is our last episode. How are you guys feeling about this? Over a year of 36 episodes.
Well, it's not actually our last. We're going to keep showing up. We're just going to move on to some new material.
Yes, that's a good point. We're not quitting.
No,
but
we're
it is
quitters.
The end of the journey of transformation, at least covering this book and these episodes. Scott, how are you feeling about it?
It's been it's been very rewarding for me because I've been leading pilot groups with this material. So what we have been doing, processing it together on the podcast, has really helped me have a lot more understanding of what to try to communicate with our groups. And it's really, couldn't come at a better time for me, but it's also a little sad. But it's also where we should have this book published within the next 2 months out into the world. So here
Yay.
We go.
We've been saying it for, 14 months now. It's coming. It's coming. So that's exciting. Seth, and you joined us, it wasn't too far into it.
April or May? May?
Yeah. Yeah. So how are you feeling
about this? I mean, yeah, it feels like, anytime you're coming to close on something, I think there's a little sadness, a little feeling of like untethered. Uh-oh, what do we do now,
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're growing into the next iteration of whatever we're supposed to do with this podcast, which kind of seems it's like in perfect alignment with the organization. I'm just excited about what's coming and what we're going to be doing with the podcast next. And I'm grateful for having been a part of this conversation, thus far. So I'm excited.
There's been like lots of threads throughout this transformation that keep getting repeated and we keep coming back to. So maybe for some people are like, yay, moving on. We're excited about some of the new things that are coming, which in the next episode you'll hear more about. But let's jump into this. Whoop It. Day 36 on the journey of transformation. And Scott, I think one of the key lines in this day was that willpower is not king. And we talked about motivation is quite different than willpower. Yeah, what are you driving at with that? What is the difference of those two?
What I was trying to do, Robbie and I, this last day, is the difference between having a dream, and having a concrete plan that motivates me to move forward. Because it all comes down to sustaining the motivation. And if I just wish for something, if I just have a dream, that may relax me, but at the same time, it can also kind of derail me. Having a process, which we've kind of talked about in some of the other days, having a process, a path that gets me from where I am to where I want to be, that is what is going to sustain me. And so that's what I'm trying to really emphasize in this very last days. You've learned all this stuff. We've uncovered a lot of things that help us have more knowledge and the power of having a dream. But do you have a plan? Which is why at the end of Journey to Freedom, we have the action plan. Having a goal without a plan is just wishes. So how do we move from wishes and dreams into a concrete plan, a process that I can implement on a daily basis? And that is what's going to, I think, fill me with hope. Is that creativity, that empowerment. I'm doing something to get me from where I am to where I want to be. And God and I are co-collaborating on that, and we're co-creating that process. Just makes a powerful team. And then I have other people in groups and support for that plan and that action and sustain it. Sustaining our action is what I think sustains our hope. And I was reading again what Florence Shin says. She says that faith holds the vision steady. And what holds me to faith is that I'm doing something on a daily basis that I know is going to move me from where I am to where I want to go.
Seth and Anna, any thoughts on the difference between motivation and willpower? Because we do. I mean, there's a lot of messages in our culture. You just got to will your way there.
Right. I think willpower can only take you so far, though. Willpower is more of a limited resource, and motivation is more of an intangible quality that dwells deep within us that is constantly being renewed. And so if we can dig into our motivation, motivation has like a greater scope, right? It sees a bigger picture. We're motivated because we're trying to get somewhere. We're trying to accomplish something. We're trying to become something. Willpower is more like task specific, right? It's very like this thing, I can push through to do this thing, but motivation is much more like it's a broader spectrum. It's more all encompassing, and it's like comes just from a deeper well within us.
Would you say, Anna, that motivation and willpower could be, you almost have to be thinking about it to be experiencing it or practicing in some way, but motivation, something that even becomes maybe something, like you said, it's intangible. Mm-hmm. Like it's this motivation that's always happening, you know, something we're growing into, and it is drawing us and leading us and like a wind to our back in a sense.
Yeah.
Consciously thinking about it. Yeah,
exactly. I feel like willpower is very cerebral, right? It's very intellectual. Mm-hmm. I feel like motivation, it taps much more into the spiritual part of ourselves.
Mm, yes. Seth Abram, back from your assignment, your vacation. We told everyone you were on assignment. So, which was partly true. But anyways, we're glad to have you back. How do you see this? Difference between motivation and willpower.
It's good to be back. I don't know if I have much more to contribute, to be honest, on that idea. And I'm okay with that. Normally I'm not. but I think similar to Anna, I guess, in that willpower is quite limited. You know, it's the amount of effort we can give based on the version of ourselves we think we are, I think. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think motivation is something we can work with to grow and expand. It like includes more capacity about ourselves.
Parts of us that are unrealized or that have potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Motivation is pulling us or drawing us more into that, I think is what I'm hearing you say.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah. I like what Anna said. Willpower is going to be limited.
Mm-hmm.
But I can sustain motivation if I tap into the sources, first God and then my fellow travelers who are going to support me, encourage me. But then always having a plan to fall back into, you know what, if I do this today, even though I don't feel like it, at the end of the day, I'm going to feel it's going to help me keep moving forward. And with each, I think motivation is accumulative. With each day I do something, I gain a little bit more confidence, and then it grows. And then I like how you guys, I think motivation pulls me forward. Mm. As willpower, I see myself pushing myself up a hill. You know, come on, come on, come on. As where, I don't know if that makes much sense, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get you guys' thoughts on this. In this final day, you talked about positive thoughts won't transform us. And that sometimes our positive fantasies, they help us relax. But when you really want to turn a wish into reality, the last thing you need to do is be relaxed. So, Scott, just with what you were just saying about not feeling pushed, what does it mean to move out of just feeling relaxed by a positive fantasy? And what does it mean that positive thoughts aren't the thing that entirely transform us? So there, I guess there's some work to be done here. So we could feel drawn and pulled, but yet there's some effort that, we need to expend, right? To
And I think, again, kind of like what I was just saying, I think when we're expending effort, and I do what I need to do today to put it in front of me that's going to move me, keep me motivated. You know, I can have all these dreams and ambitions and thoughts, which goes back to, I think, that Stanley quote, that intention does not get us to the destination. It's the process. It's the path. This is exactly, just saying it in a different way, that how important it is that you have a plan. You have a process. And I know one thing. I need other people in that process. That is a must. If I isolate, because I don't know about you guys, but my thought life is very fickle. I mean, one moment it's on and I feel like I conquer the world and I have my dream, I have this vision. Then if I don't act on it in some kind of positive way to move me towards it, I'll drift out of it and say, oh no, it's just a pipe dream, and you know, and I lose my faith and I lose my motivation. Then I'm vulnerable to drift into things that are not healthy at all, to just distract myself from my discomfort.
Kind of reminds me of water skiing, how you get up in water skiing. You know, the boat pulls you up, which is the motivation. There's this pull. But yet there's this active part that you play, which is more, it's sitting back, allowing the boat to pull you up, but your hands are engaged, you know, your body's engaged, your skis are in a position that they can come up on the water, but ultimately you have to rest in the boat's going to pull you up, and you just need to be in a proper position for the boat to do its work. So that kind of, to me, sounds like motivation and how we participate with it. Well, let's move to this. It's Whoop It. That's the title. I just want to hear you guys all say it. Each of you say Whoop It. Go ahead.
Whoop It.
Seth, I want to hear you say it.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I want to hear you say it. Come on. I don't want anyone has to say that.
Whoop it.
There you go. Scott, I want to hear you say it like you mean it. Come on.
Whoop it.
Come on, you guys, y'all. Let's all whoop it.
But you know, that's a really a powerful acronym.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So tell us about what the Whoop method is, because there is... This does make great sense. It's not just a crazy sounding phrase.
W stands for wish. You know, what is my dream? What is my goal? Mm-hmm. What is it that I want to see happen in my life? And then O is the outcome. What is the outcome? The vision that this is going to bring about. And then what are the obstacles I'm going to have to overcome? What I'm going to have to face? And then the most important letter in the whole thing for me, what is my plan? What is my plan of action? Which I really love. It really connects us with Journey to Freedom, our action plan. And again, just how important it is that I have a process, I have a path, and I have some fellow travelers on that path with me. And because there's going to be obstacles. And for me, one of the greatest obstacles is self-doubt and low self-esteem, and just how that's always going to be in fear creeps in there, and I'm ready to tank it. And so I need to plan for that obstacle, and I need to, and then get back. So having a dream, having an outcome that I desire is just the beginning. But that last letter, P, you know, what is my process? What is my plan that I can collaborate and co-create with God and partnering today? What can I do today? Even if it's the most minute thing that will help me stay on that path.
Well, it sounds like it goes from just being dreamers to doers. Like there's a progression in it, right? That you start with what you're dreaming about, what you're wishing for, what's the outcome you want, what might stand in the way of that. And then there's the plan that I'm actually going to engage with and I'm going to act on. So I love it. It goes from thinking and dreaming to now I'm actually going to live it. I love the progression there.
And the whole process takes time, it takes patience. So I heard this years ago, but the most important thing they say in change is just showing up every day, just showing up. And the reality is that I'm going to have those obstacles. Sometimes are going to be pretty ferocious, and they're going to, it's kind of like goes back to the, one of my favorite chapter in the book is about the barbed wire, but you know, it's stuff's going to come and I need to be prepared for that. And remember, the part of this whole book has been the creating of new neural pathways. It's we're going to manifest that this outcome is it's going to be a growth. We're so cultivating it, growing it. You know, I live near the agricultural center. I go there every day and cultivate as a ministry there. That they took this big field down the lower part of the agricultural center and they turned it into where they farm. They have all kinds of. So what they did, they took this huge field of weeds. And they cultivated the ground, they prepared it. Now it's producing amazing all kinds of vegetables and fruits for poor people, and it's jobs for people been in prison. And so, but they have to daily cultivate those weeds. They got to, because they're always wanting to come back. So it's this to me is kind of the vision I have of this whole book is that cultivating something new, believing in it, having the vision. Somebody had the vision of turning that field of just weeds into this thing that can be so productive and produce something really beautiful and wonderful. I think that's the journey of this book.
Richard Rohr's title for his center in Albuquerque is the Center for Action and Contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how vital it is those two are in such working relationship. They work in tandem because action without contemplation is lacking so much accuracy and meaning and purpose. And, you know, if you're not planning and preparing before you act into something, you can get yourself into trouble, you know. So contemplation is what deeply informs good action. But you can't have contemplation without action because then you're just passive and your contemplation without action is pointless. So I kind of hear like this practice is one of the best ways to like sum up this book because it's basically you use this whoop practice as a way to co-create a new life for yourself through the process of contemplation and action.
That's it.
That's it. That is it. We can go home now. That's it.
It's the dreaming and the doing.
I'm going to drop my mic real fast.
Don't drop your mic or hit your head on it, please. One of our favorite moments, we were just talking before we jumped on, of the 36 episodes is when Seth bounced his head off the microphone.
So ferocious one of my more was the sneeze.
Epic sneezes, yes.
Caused a concussion.
See, that's still a question I have. Was it a sneeze or did he fall asleep?
It was definitely a sneeze. If you could just see the force behind it.
Yeah, actually, he was asleep and the sneeze woke him up.
Yes, good choice. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, that's what I think. But
it was a boring episode.
Oh man!
Well, you guys, there's a lot of living that happens in this whoop, from wish to outcome to obstacle to plan. Maybe let's before we go, what? And maybe it's where we're particularly at right now because this is a process. I would imagine that our listeners and all of us that practice this, we'd find ourselves at different times focusing on one area or not focusing on another one of these. But I just wonder for you guys, which one you find, you know, to be more challenging right now. I know for me, sometimes it's the obstacles. I'm a 9 on the Enneagram and sometimes it's just, oh, everything's just going to work out, you know? So I'm not always willing to look at the obstacles and to make a plan of how I can navigate through them somehow. I'm just optimistic and go, oh, it's all just going to work out. So I find myself sometimes getting stuck in that or ignoring that aspect of it. But I just wonder what you guys, where some of these might be more of a challenge for you right now.
I think for me, the one that just comes to the surface the easiest that trips me up is outcome, actually. Because it's easy for me to wish for different things or wish this wasn't true of my life. Or it's not quite the idea for wish, but even having a dream for myself that's a beautiful vision. Or what's the outcome? I mean, that's harder for me to see something, see what could be. That's the harder thing for me. Yeah, because Yeah, the outcome is the piece where I don't even think about that. And unless I sit down to actually make that, practice that and look for it and locate it and find it and yeah, hope in something more than what just already is right now, that has not come natural for me.
Mm.
Yeah, because I settle for what is right now.
Very wow. much a fellow Niner.
There's there's three of us Nines on this podcast.
Scott is yes. so outnumbered.
How about you, Anna?
Yeah, I'll chime into that. I think for me, it might even be just like the wish aspect of it. As a Nine, I do tend to just like fuse with other people's thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, and I very often find it hard to locate and navigate where I am in the middle of that. Like, what is it that I really want? And so, just coming to a point in life where I really want to be intentional about living my life on purpose and what is it that I wish for? What is it that I want? Which Seth, like you said, also can be, you know, tied up, I think, in outcome. Like, what does that even look like? It's really easy for me to understand or to put my finger on what I don't like, but sometimes it's hard for me to know what it is that I actually do want, right? Unless I encounter it.
Yeah. So for you, it's starting from the place of what do I really want to dream about for my life? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know you often think quickly about that for others. But sometimes, yeah, it does not come as easy to start there for yourself.
Yeah.
So you just need to hear someone say it to you. Go ahead and wish and dream it up.
Working on it. Making a wish list.
Scott, what in this is your, are you stuck on or working on the most right now?
You know, I'm a 4, which is tragic, actually.
not so. Well, what do you?
Well, because we exaggerate.
Mm.
I think one of my problems is I'll have a vision, and it's pretty clear to me where I want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But the part that I struggle with is obstacles, and I don't plan for the obstacles. And I'm not real consistent. So my feelings are either I'm on their ceiling, I'm motivated, and this is going to be the best daggone day of my life. Mm-hmm. You guys know how I am. And then I crash. Something will send a message that it's a pipe dream, and I'll get bad news, or I'll just look at my circumstances, and nothing is changing. I think one of my obstacles is patience. And I think my patience is I struggle with patience because of my age. I don't have time to, you know, by the time I get there, I'm going to be too old to enjoy anything. So, and so that creates kind of a vicious. So I need a plan to sustain my plan, if that makes any sense.
Mm. That would include the potential of obstacles is what I'm hearing you say, right? Like, so you're not so thrown off when one comes. You're anticipating, exactly. Yeah.
Because they're going to come.
Yeah.
And they come all the time for a 4 because I feel everything to the extreme, you know. And then I isolate with that. And so I realize, and then I know that consistency, I wrote down here, consistency is probably the greatest obstacle for me. How can I stay off the ceiling and stay off the bottom and just kind of try to stay around the middle as much as possible and plan for those things? And then also I think that this is going to sound strange, but since I created this idea in these books, I should be on top of all this stuff, and I'm not, you know? And so that creates a pressure. And so it's interesting, what we talked about in the book, I struggle with a fixed mindset. I think a fixed mindset is easy to fall into if you're a 4 and you feel things to the extreme. Well, it's just no way this is ever going to happen. Look, you know, today is such a setback. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to move to Hawaii and drive a cab for the rest of my life. You know, it's just, you know. And then other days I'm like, gosh, I see it. I believe it. I feel today is so awesome, man. I'm on my way. God and I, we're going to get there tonight. And tonight comes and I don't get there. And so I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. It really does.
And it is a huge comfort to the rest of us to see that you are a fellow traveler. You don't have it all figured out because, man, how can you trust someone that hasn't struggled? So we love that you lead by example in all areas, and that includes the struggle.
It is encouraging. Yeah. Coming from a guy that someone said, hey, you want to do a small group in the YMCA? get some unfortunate folks together and see if you could give them hope. And one group turned into two and then 12 and then many happening in many wise and now all across the United States and around the world. So, yeah, that is great hope. And I think the message of this whole journey of transformation is that it is a process that we're always on. Right, Scott? It's mm-hmm. like, I don't think anyone's arrived.
And, you know, George, I think that's where the group is so important. Is that I don't think that I have the capability to see my growth as mm-hmm. other people around me can see it and they can remind me of it. That's why I think every time I do a group during the week, I feel better because I feel like I'm seen, or just when I'm around you guys. And I just want to emphasize to the listeners, isolation is deadly. And mm-hmm. when I isolate and I sink into that self-absorbed, self-centered place of self-pity and doubt, I can't get out of that on my own. I need other human beings to speak that into me. So,
yeah. If I could, Scott, I'll say too, like I've maybe said this before on here, but I still remember my first group thinking, that's Scott and he's probably got it all figured out. and then when I realized you didn't, I could actually relax
mm-hmm.
because then there was nothing for me to measure up to. It was just, it allowed me to be me and work the process. So there was a gift in you actually not having it all figured out. Yeah. I think there's no such thing as having it figured out, all figured out.
Yeah.
But also real fast to like touch back. If anybody's wondering, like what in the world are they talking about with numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Enneagram numbers, what is a 4, what is a 9? I'm not going to get into that, but just briefly to say what the Enneagram is. It's like a, it's basically, I think, best understood as a tool for personality and potential that reveals 9 ways to see the world that is both our freedom and our frustration, our primary gift for seeing the world, and how we get stuck in automatic patterns that limit our relationship with ourselves and others.
So you're saying understanding the Enneagram can help us whip it better, right?
Yeah,
totally. Totally. Absolutely. So don't talk to the average person out there who thinks they know about the Enneagram because you might not get some helpful information. I'd go to a place like theenneagraminstitute.com or
the Integrated Enneagram on Instagram. Yeah.
Or that. Yeah, just look for some professionals out there, which is better than the popularized understanding of the tool that just limits people to their patterns. Yeah.
Right. Because it is a lot about motivation, which speaks back to what we were talking about today. It helps us understand what drives and motivates different personality types.
Yeah. Because a lot of personality types don't deal with that internal motivation. Some of them are behavioral driven. And that's one of the gifts of the Enneagram. And Seth's being very humble. He is our resident expert on the Enneagram
that
all three of us have learned from him. Yes, so he's being very humble. But you guys, it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey that I think what we're saying, it's not ending. The episodes on the book are, but our journeys are ongoing. And the other thing I heard out of this is you can't whip it alone, right? If anyone's trying to do that, it's going to be really, really difficult. So that's what Restore is here for. And if we could help you on your journey, help you learn how to whip it. And by the way, I just love saying that word because it makes me smile. When Seth sent us the login to record this, it said whip it. I thought it was a joke. And then I opened up the book and sure enough, the chapter was whip it. So I'm sorry. I just found it to be a joy to open it up and then to read the content of that. But friends, thank you. Thank you for joining us on this journey. And none of us are perfect. And we live in just a culture and a society of perfectionism. And we got to let go of that because that's so not helpful on this journey. So Find some people that will, you know, you can join, and they're sharing that they're growing in some ways, and some ways they're stumbling and falling, but they're working at it. That's what this is all about. So please visit us online at restoresmallgroups.org, and you can find some groups that maybe you can join. We got some of those starting up right now, so check that out. Other resources are available there. But remember, friends, over every mountain there is a path, and the future rewards those who discover it and press on. So stay on the path, and take care, friends.
Hey, friends, it's Scott. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Searching Inward podcast. If you've benefited from enjoying listening or have benefited in any way from the podcast, we would love for you to come alongside us and join us in the mission to bring hope and healing to the world. While you're considering becoming a monthly giver of just even $5, you're helping us make a huge impact in the ways in which we're able to serve. So please consider giving by going to restoresmallgroups.org/donate. God bless you, and thank you.